Moving on to the recommendations, as I briefly said, I sincerely appreciate the board taking this opportunity to meet here. The law allows the board to adjust appropriations up to and including June 30th of each fiscal year. So this takes an opportunity for us to make one last move on our appropriation measures. And that's really why it's so important to me for the board to have the meeting on June 30th so that we can get all of our books in order and make sure that we're not exceeding our appropriations in any area. You'll see the agenda has an interesting order to it as we start going through these. Where we have our appropriation measure for May, we do monthly appropriations, but then we have a second one for June. So I'm going to ask you to approve May, and being very honest, it doesn't mean a whole lot because we're going to turn around and approve June as well. But throughout the year, we've been keeping appropriations at right in between $50 to $51 million, and the May appropriation level is at $51,107,000. As we have finalized all of our expenditures and have moved money to appropriate funds, I will be asking the board to approve a final appropriations of $46,891 $891,090.72. So this is down significantly of where we had set our appropriations. This is not uncommon. We often set appropriations a little bit higher, again, but we do work to control our expenditures. Now, what this means on our five-year forecast, and as we finalize things early next week, I will send this out to the board so that you have a full understanding of how it affects the five-year forecast, is two things. One, you'll see in the resolution this morning, advancing of funds from the general fund to other funds. We have five advances that I'm asking the board to make to other funds. One of the differences between Mark, my predecessor, and I, and this is truly just a difference of a way, you know, two treasurers choose to do their jobs, is I'm asking the board to advance funds, advance out of general fund enough to cover both the expenditures in our grants and encumbrances. Okay, and that's a difference between Mark and I. Mark did not do encumbrances. I read the law a little bit differently, and for the end of the fiscal year, I want to make sure I'm covered. Now, advances are not gifts, they are loans. We simply advance the money into the grant funds to close the books. We will turn around in July, advance the money back to general fund as we're requesting that money from the state for the state and federal grants that we need to make advancements to. The other big piece that you're going to see, not necessarily with the appropriation measure, but as I give you that five-year forecast, okay, updating the five-year forecast for the end of the fiscal year, is, again, it's just a difference of the way that we do work between two separate treasurers. Mark had encumbered a lot of prior year's money. And in fact, last year as I came in, the district was had almost $4.9 million in encumbrances carry from a previous fiscal year, carrying over into next fiscal year. Yes, sir.
Can you maybe explain what encumbrances
mean? Certainly. So an encumbrance is, you know, we have our revenues as money coming in, we have our expenditures, what we actually pay out, and then the key in between is the encumbrance. And the encumbrance is saying, I'm going to spend this money, but I haven't spent it yet. So when a PO is issued, it becomes an encumbrance. On our books, it becomes an encumbrance. We make a contractual obligation to say we're going to spend that money, okay? When we actually pay it and cut the check, it then becomes a expense. So what was happening, what has happened in the past, is we would encumber money, and we would encumber it in a way, in a lot of situations that, well, we might want to do this, so we'll encumber the money now. And what was happening is we would have some POs that were 4, 5, 6 years old that were never used. And to be very frank, in a lot of situations, forgotten about. And it was tying up our funds because it was encumbered, and that counts against our budget levels. So working with our budget managers and going through and working with each of the departments and looking at, okay, are we still planning on doing this, okay? Or do we still need this money? We encumber the money for a student going to an outplaced school. did they actually go and did we just not get billed, or did plans change and we don't need this money? We were able to reduce that number from $4.9 million down to this year $1.8 million. Okay. Now I want to stress one thing: this is not found money. Okay. This is not found money at all. Okay. This is not $3 million more in the bank. And in fact, when we look at our five-year forecast and how it affects our five-year forecast, the reduction of encumbrances has no positive nor negative impact on our five-year forecast. It shows an encumbrance in the five-year forecast. Where it will show the difference in the five-year forecast is our ending cash balance, as we're carrying over money from one year to the next. Okay, that will show inflated this year because we've reduced those encumbrances, saying that that money is available for other purposes, not just what they were originally encumbered for. What I will say this year is, as we look at our expenditures and revenues, and I this is a draft at this point, while I've nailed down our expenditures, because that's again why we're here, to finalize our appropriation measures. Revenue can still come in yesterday, today, and we'll finally log most of the last revenue on Monday. But we're looking at revenue coming in approximately $200,000 higher than what was expected on the five-year forecast. And then our expenditures are coming in approximately $600,000 less than what the five-year forecast had in May. Again, I tend to shoot a little bit high and make sure that we're covered with it. So ultimately, we're looking at about $1.8 million that we took in more than we spent this year. So we're seeing an increase in our cash balance. Now again, I think I had mentioned in the five-year forecast presentation, I like referring to it as a cookie jar. We're creating this cookie jar. And even in the five-year forecast, although we're seeing a better effect this year of spending less money than we had taken in, we're still showing a deficit 5 years out. Okay, we have reduced that deficit from approximately $2 million to about $1.3 million because of a little bit more money that we have this year than we had anticipated. But we're still showing that deficit. So while it's certainly we're headed in the right direction of reducing our expenditures, and hopefully revenues increasing a little bit, like we had just spoken about, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes ago, that loss of $1.5 million a year in tangible personal property is going to have a very, very tangible effect on our budget. And that's where next year, where you know we're taking in $1.8 million more than we spent this year, next year I'm anticipating we will spend $1.8 million more than we take in. So we flip next year from saving money at the end of the year to spending money at the end of the year. And that's going to be a challenge. And the main driving factor to that is the loss of revenue from the state of $1.5 million. If it was the $300,000, I'm sure that, you know, as we work throughout the year, we can control our expenditures to overcome that. I don't think we can overcome $1.8 million by just on the expenditure side. So we will start pulling from that cookie jar. And that's why we're showing that deficit in 5 years. So that's where we are, you know, with it for the impact on the five-year forecast. So if I can move on to the treasurer's recommendations, briefly go through each one for you. The first one, 4A, is a then and now certificates. It's two of them. We had some repairs that we needed, but then we had electric charges did come in higher than we had initially set a PO for. Second one, B, is to advance funds for the month of May. We do have advancing funds to Title I of $395 and 83 cents to Title I from General Fund. 4C is to return an advance from Title IIA, which is improving teacher quality, back to the General Fund of $277.25. 5D is authorizing funds. This is where I spoke about moving money to cover the grants for the end of the fiscal year. And the end of the fiscal year here, we have the five grant funds that I'm asking the board to move money into is Title VI B, which is special education, $250,099.02. Title III, which is limited English proficiency, $4,237.66. Title I, which is reading, I believe we just use it for reading comprehension, is $71,054.33. Early childhood special education is $2,617.08. And then finally, Title IIA, improving teacher quality, is $13,728.91. Again, these are loans to each of these funds so that we don't end showing any type of negative, both expenditures or encumbrances, and the money will be returned very, very quickly. I also have resolution E4E, which has the returning advances from the College Credit Plus grant of $7,142, and Title I of the $395.83, which you just would be advancing in the previous resolution. Then I also have F, which is the May appropriation measure, and G, which is the year-end appropriation measure. Finally, I'd like to group the from A to H, and H is our temporary appropriations. And what I've historically done for temporary appropriations, and asked the board to do the same, is I will set temporary appropriations at 70% of what permanent appropriations finish out for the year. Temporary appropriations are, without appropriation measures by the board, we're not able to spend any money. So if the board would say, no, we're not going to grant temporary appropriations, I'm unable to cut checks beyond today. So starting tomorrow, we would not be able to pay any of our bills or encumber any money to order supplies, materials, you know, whatever we need in the district. So temporary appropriations are allowed to be in place up until the end of September. October 1st, you have to have your permanents in place. And that allows us a couple months to work on finalizing budget numbers, meeting with everyone to set the budgets for the year, but still allow operations of the district to continue between now and then. 70%, we are not going to spend anywhere near that, but there are areas that we will. So an example on salaries will be nowhere close to 70%. But if we're ordering supplies for this upcoming school year, we may spend 70% in a building level budget or in a specific line item budget. So 70% I found to be a pretty a good number to work through the temporary appropriations. I fully expect to adjust these again in our July meeting, and then again in August, and then again in September. And in September, we would have our permanents that I would ask the board to approve at that time as well. So those are the A through H, and I would like the board to combine those if possible. And then if that's okay, then after that vote, we can move on to I and J.
Okay, is there a motion to approve items 4A through 4H?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion, questions?
Thank you for the good detailed explanation on encumbrances.
You're very welcome.
And not at all, thank you.
Yep. Yes. Okay, roll call, please.
Kraft?
Yes.
Finucane?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Motion carries. So the next one I have on here, I've got two last ones. I'd like to do them both separately if that's okay with the board. We have the first one is our district insurance. So we are on a year-to-year fiscal year district insurance. This would be renewing our insurance with the Ohio School Plan is who we utilize. It's a consortium of districts to help pool the insurance and is covered by a number of reinsurance companies. I believe I have the, I've uploaded the policy for the board to review. I just wanted to point out, this is a small increase from last year. We're at, I believe last year we were approximately $128,000. We're now just over $131,000. This is due to some of the increases in the valuations of properties. This will be reassessed, and we expect a decrease once the land swap is finalized with the city, as we will no longer have to cover the building that is the old admin building on the corner of Dover Center and Hilliard. So that will help reduce our plan as the vacant land really isn't much of an issue for the property insurance, but the building, we are paying to insure that building, so that will decrease.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve item 4I?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Questions? I have one question, and it may not pertain to this. But in Brady's report, he talks about the consortium ending for the wellness.
Yeah, this that is different. This is our property and fleet and umbrella insurance, so our general liability insurance. That's specific to our health insurance.
Okay.
So our health insurance is a consortium through Suburban Health Consortium, and they had a contract with a company, Vitality Wellness, and the consortium has opted to end that contract, not because they don't believe in wellness or the wellness plan. I will tell you, and I agree with them, I don't believe we were getting the value out of the contract with Vitality specifically. Again, that's not to put down Vitality, it just wasn't working for Suburban. So they are looking into other alternatives and have a temporary stopgap where they'll make grants to districts to do internal wellness programs while they're looking to fill that gap.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, can you tell me, are you aware of any claims that we made in the last year off of?
Sure. I mean, we've had yeah, some bus accidents.
Right.
You know, we've had, you know, things like that. Your property insurance will cover if there are students who are injured in the school and it's deemed or visitors coming to the school and it's deemed to be a property property insurance case. It's very similar to your homeowner's insurance, to where if somebody's injured on your property, they can file against your homeowners. So we do have claims, but again, we pool it so that it's spread across, you know, multiple or a large number of districts.
And Mr. Kosovar is the OSP chair?
He is. Now, it's you know, it's not necessarily a conflict of interest. He does serve as on the board there. And this is a recommendation from me as the treasurer, not directly from Mr. Kosovar. But we have found it to be in our best interest with Ohio School Plan, both financially and because they focus specifically on schools.
Okay, roll call please.
Kraft?
Yes.
Finucane?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Motion carries. And then finally, I have a really long resolution that has a lot of legalese, and I apologize for that. Earlier this year, the board did approve allowing us to purchase one bus outright and then lease an additional 10 buses. The reason that we're looking to lease the 10 buses is we do have a very much aging fleet. This would allow us to bring in 10 brand new buses or 11 brand new buses in total very quickly. And while the 10 buses cost, the aggregate cost is $814,000 for the principal. While we could buy that out of permanent improvement, it would pretty much eat up an entire year's budget, as we only get $1.1 million of permanent improvement that we just started collecting. So in lieu of spending all of that and putting off other projects that we'd like to do with the permanent improvement, we were approved to go out and lease those 10 buses. We were presented by a lease from Bluebird, the manufacturer, at 3.06% interest rate. I worked with our municipal advisor, Mike Sudsina, and we went out and approached about five different banks and asked them to submit proposals. And ultimately what this resolution is saying is that this would allow us to enter into a lease agreement with KeyBank for the buses. It's considered a six-year lease, but there's 5 years after this year because the first payment will be due on the completion of the lease. At the execution of the lease. Then we have five additional payments after that. But this will allow us to spread those payments over six fiscal years for us. And the lease came in at 2.22%, which I think is a very fair rate for that term. And is saving us around $16,000-$17,000compared to going with Bluebird. So it is a benefit to us to save some money on that, and that's money that's saved out of PI over the long term of the lease. And this would allow, specifically allow Barb as the president, Scott as the superintendent, and I as the treasurer to enter into the lease agreement. I did include the lease agreement for your review as it currently stands, but as we're finalizing everything, things may change, but not in any material way. The resolution states specifically that it has the term and the interest rate. So as we work things out, we're looking at closing the lease approximately July 14th. To be very honest, we've already taken possession of most of the buses. We were contacted by the manufacturer. They didn't have room to store them on site, so they asked if they could store them at our facility, which works out. Well, it works out very good for us because it allows us to then inspect them in a timely manner, and then we can execute the lease and get everything taken care of and get possession of them, legal possession of them, very quickly.
And so then what else that does is they'll be on the road.
Correct, absolutely.
So when the school year starts, because if we get them late and then we have to inspect them, so this model gets us those buses on the road.
That's exciting. I'm sure transportation is thrilled.
They are.
So I wonder if there'll be an argument over who gets to drive the new buses.
You think?
I'd have to imagine there probably will be, but
lottery here. Okay, any other? Well, we didn't even take the motion yet, did we? Are you finished with your?
I am.
Okay, ready for?
Yep.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve item 4J?
So moved.
Second.
Any further questions?
We have, Todd, do we have an estimate on any kind of used sale value, if any of the buses are worth? Obviously, I know we're going to get rid of them.
Yeah, what we've done, what Dave's done in the past is sold them through a surplus auction site, a government auction site. None of them, our legal responsibility is if we have anything that value of over $10,000, we're required to go specifically through public auction. None of them will have a value over $10,000. The buses that we're looking at, I believe when I looked into the ones that we're replacing, I think the average age was right around 20 years is of the buses that would be out the door with several hundred thousand miles on each of them. So we will list them in, I think it's govsurplus.com or something like that. I can find that with Dave. I know that's how he sold the last couple of them, but
it's very minimal.
If we get 1,000 or a little more, a couple thousand, that's a lot. Wow. You're probably more in the few hundred range on most of them.
It's the family music group,
That is exactly right. What I'm thinking.
If I want to turn it into a Browns.
So if anybody wants, that's right. You want a bus for
traveling baseball, John. You never know. You do need a very good mechanic.
Looking at the document, I noticed it's Key out of Colorado. Is that just how they process it?
That's just how they process it. That's their public finance office. They run out of Colorado. Yeah, I found that interesting as well. But
thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Roll call, please.
Kraft?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Finucane?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Motion carries. That's all I have.
Thank you very much.